you Becklin!
NHL fans, give yourself some great looks this season and get Sharks tickets at Ticketmaster.
Oh, what a save by Blackwood!
As the official marketplace of the Sharks and the NHL, Ticketmaster has a wide selection of tickets available for every game so you can catch all the action live.
Classic shoots, and he scores!
If your plans change, you can sell or transfer your tickets, and mobile tickets make it easy to get into the arena in time for puck drop. With Ticketmaster, you'll ensure that when they shoot, you'll score. Get your tickets today at Ticketmaster.com/NHL.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
Score! Fabian centered on a one-time pass. Cooks the defense, has a chance. Deke shoots. Score! A spectacular rush from end to end. I mean Kyle Quinlan.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Goes to the corner. Wenberg works it out in front of the net. The shot by Quinlan, save. Rebound in front of the net. Where is it? 10 seconds to play. The Flames will clear. They got to get back. It's not going to be an icing. Pospisil going for it. Celebrini competing for it. They both fall down. Empty net. They score. With 0.4 seconds remaining in the game, right in front of the net, Jonathan Huberdeau will get the empty netter after that amazing one-on-one battle between Martin Pospisil of Calgary and Macklin Celebrini of the San Jose Sharks. The Sharks fight to the end again, and this time it will be a 3-1 Calgary win.
We've got to start winning some hockey games. You know, I think, again, we've done, there's some positives tonight that we can take from, but there's a lot of things we've got to continue to improve on. We've got to continue to get better each and every single day. We are in the facility, whether that's a video session, a practice, a morning skate. We have to continue to improve individually and collectively.
All right, good morning, everyone, and welcome as the San Jose Sharks fall once again, this being yet another loss in which they were right there with the opposition to the end, only coming up short. And I guess the silver lining or the positive and the negative here is that the San Jose Sharks are in every single game they are playing for the vast majority of the games this year. And this goes back to the start of the season, even when they were 0-7-2. This has been during the month of November when they were consistently getting wins and or points. And frustratingly has turned into a month of December in which they have been there in every single game but have not been able to walk away with points as often as they would like to have walked away with points. So right now for San Jose, you have to look at it a couple of ways, and one is just the vast improvement or the sense that they are losing better than where they were a year ago. And I know that's not exactly a sexy storyline that people want to talk about, but it is a reality for San Jose. And I know that it's not exactly what everyone wants, but at the same time, I do see a San Jose Sharks team that is in every game, and we would have killed for that a year ago because they were decidedly not in every game. They were getting blown out game after game after game. They were getting manhandled. They were simply not able to compete against the vast majority of their opposition one season ago. This year, you look and see them in every single game giving themselves a chance. That is a step in the right direction. You see more and more of the young talent that they have out there with Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Shakir Mukhmudulin, and you also have Yaroslav Askarov out there. These were aspects of their game that were not there one year ago. And then you also take into account the fact that they do have key absences in these games, like a Jake Walman, like a William Eklund. Those are two very important players to their success that have been hurt and have not been out there for San Jose, which impact the final outcome. And so you're looking at key absences. You're looking at youth movements. You are looking at Macklin Celebrini continuing to be a high-profile player in the NHL and his overwhelming vast majority of games so far this year. And I can't argue with what we see in its potential for San Jose. The frustration is that the potential is not turning into wins right now. And when you look at the vast majority of the teams they've been facing in the month of December, I mean, this has been some top level talent. Washington, very, very good team. Tampa, very good team. Florida, defending champions. Carolina, not going to be shocked if they're of the final team standing. St. Louis, again, not some world beater right now, but still a team that is threatening. Utah, a finding themselves type team. And then you've got Winnipeg, again, a true contender. Avs, a true contender. Oilers, a true contender. Vancouver, slower start this year, but still a very, very good team. Vegas, true contender. Calgary, a team that is surprising everyone and looking like a very good team. And then they'll finish off the month of December and the calendar year of 2024 against Philadelphia, a team that has a very, very high-quality young star in Matvei Michkov and will provide another challenge for San Jose. And then you look at the month of January. It's not like it gets any easier. They host Tampa. They host New Jersey. They host Vegas. They're on the road against Utah. They host Minnesota. Then it's Detroit, Columbus, Islanders, Boston, Nashville on the road. Then Nashville at home. Then Florida at home. Pittsburgh at home. And they finish the month against Seattle. I mean, again, the parity in the NHL is also something that is reigning supreme because I feel like even the bad teams this year are significantly better than where they were a year ago. So it's just the realities of life in the NHL. You're either one of the top contenders or you are not. And the San Jose Sharks are not a top contender right now. But I do look at the way that they've played in the overwhelming majority of games, and I feel positive about the team despite the fact that they are losing all these games. If we are being realistic, we did not expect the Sharks to win the vast majority of these games that were on the schedule in December. We knew it was going to be difficult going into it, and I think that's one of the reasons why their success in the month of November was so very important, because we saw what was coming ahead on the schedule. And I think that in the midst of all these losses, you are still seeing production from Macklin Celebrini. You are still looking at Yaroslav Askarov and the looks that he's getting show himself to be a true goalie for the future. You're watching Will Smith continue to be impactful during games. You're seeing things that you ultimately want to see from the San Jose Sharks. That, in my opinion, should be the takeaway, is that guys who are being tasked with being a big part of the future are playing like they can be a big part of the future. And even guys that aren't quote-unquote the future are still playing very, very good games. Tyler Toffoli, I love his game night in, night out. Mikael Granlund, I appreciate his game night in, night out, even though I think Mikael Granlund might be dealing with something right now, a little tiny injury, because I don't think he's had the same pop in his skating as of later overall to his game. And that's not to say that he's been bad. He just hasn't been as impactful, hasn't looked as comfortable out there on the ice. These are all part of the reality of life in the NHL. You're not always going to be 100% out there on the ice, but what can you do in spite of that lack of being 100%? So these are just some things that I notice with San Jose right now. They have not been as good as they were in the month of November, but in the month of November, you can argue that they caught some breaks, but that's what you hope to find in the National Hockey League, that you are able to catch some breaks on nights where you're not your best, on nights where your team isn't as best, on nights where you're on the second night of a back-to-back and you're hoping for a little bit of magic on your side. Magic hasn't been there for San Jose. They got a lot of that magic in November, but I still appreciate that they're in the vast majority of games. Macklin Celebrini continues to show that his overall fight, his drive, his desire, and his talent is up there with just about anybody in the NHL right now. I continually am impressed with his overall game. His ability to win puck battles along the boards is shockingly good for a rookie who is 18 and a half years old. He is so good at winning puck battles along the boards that it kind of blows me away, just because you see it at such a high level compared to almost everybody else on the Sharks and really against every team that they go against. It feels like Macklin Celebrini, if he's going to go and get a puck along the boards, there's no doubt that he's going to be the one that comes away with it when all is said and done. And when he gets the puck in a good position from either side in the circles, he's going to have a good ability to put quite a drive on net. And his activity on his skates, the way he never stops, he's always moving, he's always trying to find space, he's always trying to create space, he is always problematic for the opposition. These are the reasons why I'm not entirely bothered by what we're seeing out there in terms of the wins and losses, because as frustrating as it is, it was never about this year. And I'm not trying to be an apologist or a homer or anything to that extent, but it was never about the Sharks contending this year. It's about the future. It's always been about the future. And I think that's what everyone is relatively impatient about, because we see what Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Yaroslav Askarov and Shakir Mukhmudulin are potentially capable of. And one of the things that I really like about Shakir Mukhmudulin is that he has been getting better and better with San Jose with each passing week that he's out there on the ice. Each passing game, each passing shift, we see more and more of his game. We see more and more of his comfort out there on the ice. And I think that he can continue to be an impactful player. I don't know if he's ever going to be quote-unquote a star, but I do think that he has the ability to be a shutdown defenseman. He has the ability to break things up out there on the ice. He has a long stick. He's got a wide reach. He's got a wide orbit. He's difficult to play against. He is getting increasingly physical in games, and that is what you want to see. Development from your young players as they get more time in the NHL. You know, Yaroslav Askarov comes in as a very high-level talent, but you watch him learning how to play in the NHL. He has so much confidence. He has so much swagger. There is a cockiness about him, but I don't think it's borderline arrogance. I think he's cocky because he's good enough, A, and B, he also looks like he's having fun out there on the ice. That's a big part of what I am seeing in his game. After games, he's not worried about the losses. He's not worried about that much. He's worried about going out there, playing his game, and giving his team a chance to win. I think that type of an attitude from a goalie is refreshing because we all know that goalies are unique individuals, to say the least. They're usually a little bit on the odd side. That's what it takes to be a goalie. But they are, you know, sometimes they can take losses very, very hard. They can be too hard on themselves. Yaroslav Askarov is not falling into that trap. I feel like when we watch him from game to game, he's having fun. He's going out there to do his job. He's letting the results come where they will. I'm not saying that he enjoys losing or anything to that extent, but I think that he is having fun, and you need those guys out there having fun. The one thing that I will say is that the Sharks, despite the fun that I want them to have, they need to be having fun out there on the ice. They need to be enjoying themselves. And I think that the emphasis on the term joy is something we cannot overlook in sports. But I also think that you need to be a little bit more of a killer out there. You need to be a little bit more of a hard ass. You need to be, a bunch of MFers. And I think that's the next part of the game that San Jose needs to learn, is it's not just about having fun out there on the ice, because they do need to have fun. I'm not denying that in the slightest, but they also need to be a cutthroat type team. They need to be a team that everyone hates to play against, that the other team is losing their mind while you're having fun because you're so difficult to play against. That is the next step in the evolution of San Jose, and I see that mentality a lot in Macklin Celebrini. I think that that's part of his overall mental makeup. He wants to win so bad. He wants to hurt the opposition. He doesn't just want to beat you. He wants you to feel bad about the way that they beat you, and I think that's that hyper-competitive nature that he has to himself, but that needs to permeate the rest of the team. Everyone needs to understand what it takes to win and what it takes to beat the opposition in this league, because Ryan Warsawski has said that the team does not yet understand what it takes to win. I think that he's saying that to push a message to his team. I do think that this team knows how to win in the NHL. I just think they don't know how to make it happen on a night-to-night basis. I think that they are able to ride momentum very, very well. They're able to have some great blow-up performances. I think they also do not know how to draw upon that whenever they want. It's not something that they can just turn on. You know, it used to be that the Sharks, when they were in difficult situations, they could quote-unquote turn it on and change the game in an instant. That is ultimately something you would like to see from San Jose, that they're not there yet, and it takes time. And I also take into account the fact that they are missing players, but, you know, you do get a player like Clem Costin into the game last night. He grew into the game. You can tell his conditioning is not where it needs to be after missing some time, but you don't expect everyone to be perfect, right? You expect everyone to be able to contribute. And I think that last night there were opportunities where guys missed their open net when they had a chance, where guys turned the puck over in the neutral zone a little bit carelessly, where guys were just not always able to make the right play in the right moment. And there's probably a little bit of a fatigue factor as the Sharks had a very quick break. You know, they did not get an extended holiday break like you saw from the Flames last night, who had about a week off in between games. The Sharks could use a little bit of time off, and they'll get their time off in general. That happens for every team. It all balances out. But the Sharks have played, along with New Jersey, the most games out of any team in the NHL. And I think you can see it a little bit right now, especially when you put that on top of the absences they've had. You do feel the absence of a Wallman. You do feel the absence of an Eklund. Those two in particular, you would have liked to have had them out there in their lineup last night. But that's life in the National Hockey League. You're not going to have your best on every single night, and you've got to find a way, regardless, to go out there and create offense, to make the big plays, to make the big moments, and give yourself that opportunity. All right, before I get into some of the highlights, Dan Rusinowski and I spoke for a second after last night's game. I was lucky enough to be on the color commentary portion of last night's broadcast with Dan, which is always a very, very good time. But we talked about what we saw in the game and then what's coming up next for San Jose.
Well, the San Jose Sharks are having trouble getting victories, but they're getting closer to it with a hard-fought game against the Calgary Flames. A 3-1 defeat at the hands of the Flames. The teams exchanged power play goals in the second period. The spectacular moment for the Sharks offensively was when Macklin Celebrini scored on the power play. Yaroslav Askarov outstanding in goal with 30 saves, but unfortunately, two goals by Jonathan Huberdeau, the second one into an empty net with seconds remaining. And Ted, as I consider that, let's think about that battle at the end of the game between Celebrini fighting for the puck to the very end against Martin Pospisil of Calgary. Huberdeau got the puck, but that battle kind of summarized the whole game.
It really did, with the Sharks battling, but still coming up short. And I think that's really the trend of what we've seen since the month of December has really gone by. And San Jose's been in so many of these games. I think that's the most frustrating part, is you can see how close they are. But still, we all know that in the NHL, those small margins, those are often the difference makers. And for San Jose, that has them now on a losing streak, that has them now walking away with games where we so often have said to ourselves, boy, it felt like they deserved a point out of that. One at the very least, if not two, in so many of these games, and they walk away with zero when all is said and done.
The hard part is that there's only one win in the Sharks' last 11 games, and out of those 11 games, I'd say at least six, maybe even seven, were easily winnable, including the victory that they got. And so there are some silver linings in the dark cloud, but the Sharks are just going to have to put their collective heads together and take on the Philadelphia Flyers, who are coming into town on New Year's Eve. How about this, Ted? The first home New Year's Eve game in Sharks history. I'm at home. I can't believe it.
I like it. How many of these New Year's Eve games have you done before? Because I know that we've done a number of New Year's Eve games. I'm just trying to think. We did one last year, didn't we? We were on the road?
Always on the road. Seems like we're in Detroit or Minnesota or someplace like that. It really doesn't matter or where the team goes, but the bottom line is that they've always been away. But this is an opportunity for fans at home to come to SAP Center at San Jose, see Macklin Celebrini, Will Smith, Shakir Mukhamudulin, by the way, making really good progress, and, of course, Askarov.
Askarov was absolutely brilliant tonight, Dan. I mean, we know that he is viewed as the goalie of the future, one of his foundational pieces alongside of Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith. But he showed us again tonight. I mean, just the confidence I think that he plays with is what is so staggering to me, because he doesn't have like the experience that falls in line with the confidence and the swagger that he has. But he just goes about his business. There's a very casual, almost lackadaisical aspect to his game, especially when he goes out of net. You can tell everybody gets a little bit nervous. Other than that first shift he had where he gave up a goal in, what, 11 seconds, he has no trouble going out there and getting the puck. And it's fun to watch him play. I think even though the Sharks are losing right now, Dan, it's still a fun, entertaining product. I'm not trying to be an apologist, but I'm always excited to watch these games. That may not have been the case with every single game last year.
And there's something else, too, when it comes to the Philadelphia Flyers, because they've got a young rookie named Matvei Michkov, who is just as skilled in many respects as Macklin Celebrini is. So the game on New Year's Eve on Tuesday is going to be a great battle between two of the best young players. Let's not forget about Will Smith. Let's not forget about Askarov or also Shakir Mukhamudulin. But the big focus will be on those two offensive performers, two of the best rookies in the National Hockey League, Macklin Celebrini for the Sharks and Matvei Michkov of the Philadelphia Flyers. And don't forget to listen to the game on the Sharks Audio Network. We're on the air at 4:30 because we want to make sure you get home safely, happily, and certainly in good humor. The Sharks and the Flyers, 4:30 airtime on the Sharks Audio Network. We look forward to seeing you then.
That's a look forward. Now a look back at last night's game. It was Calgary and Jonathan Huberdeau struck first.
Off the faceoff, Uyghur a shot, tip, score! So a faceoff win for Calgary. Mackenzie Uyghur gets it on the right point. And traffic in front, a tip in front. Jonathan Huberdeau right in front of the net. It's a 1-0 Calgary Flames lead. Again, a face-off loss for Nico Sturm, who doesn't usually do that. But CeCe one-on-one there against Huberdeau. And somehow Jonathan Huberdeau gets his stick on it. What a season he's having. He now has goals in three straight games. He has points in four straight. And it's the Flames 1, the Sharks nothing.
And so the Flames found the back of the net first, but also Yaroslav Askarov came up with some big saves before San Jose had a chance to equalize things.
Here comes Ryan Lomberg, chased by Ruda. Right up the middle of the ice, walks in, gets the backhander away. And this time a stick save and then a glove grab by the right-handed catching Yaroslav Askarov. And play is blown dead.
What I love about Askarov is how astoundingly casual he is. in the big moments. He does not look like he is being pushed to his limit. He does not look like he is being overextended. He is just going about his business, not even in workmanlike fashion. It's just like he's out there having fun. There's an almost lackadaisical aspect to his game that makes you appreciate it that much more because he feels like he is so in control on every single play. Not too long after, Macklin Celebrini found the back of the net and brought life to SAP Center.
Here comes the first unit again. Celebrini flips on the right to Foldy, kicks it across the line. Celebrini hustles to it, goes to the right wing corner, backhands around the near boards. Wenberg, nice move, throws it on the right, shot, Celebrini, score! What a rocket! Macklin Celebrini positioned on the right circle, won that puck around the boards, and got the pass right on the tape, and he didn't waste even a split second. That shot was off of his stick and in the net. The Sharks score on the power play at 3:04 of the second. It's 1-1, and it's Macklin Celebrini getting credit for the goal.
Macklin Celebrini now has 27 points through 27 games. He just continues to be an absolute monster in terms of production for a kid who's 18 and a half years old. A point per game. He is tied in the lead for points, but he has played significantly fewer games than you look at the rest of the guys at the top of the list. That tells you what he has the potential to be in the NHL. And he just, game in, game out, looks like an absolute terror on the NHL. And with that shot, with his ability to change the game, you do feel like the Sharks have something that's truly special. And I am continually amazed by his overall game, the completeness of his game, his ability to win faceoffs as a rookie, his ability to win the puck battles along the boards, his zone entries, his defense, everything that he's doing out there. Macklin Celebrini is a true, legit star, and we're watching that develop in real time as a member of the San Jose Sharks. Macklin's goal came at 3:04 of the second. Just about 3.5 minutes later, it was Mikhail Backlund who gave the Calgary Flames a 2-1 lead they would not look back from.
Now Zim Kadri's on the ice for Calgary. Back to Anderson, feeds left side, shot, save made, rebound. Anderson keeps in, Kadri, one-time shot, save made. Rebound, there's space, they score! Mikhail Backlund, the captain of the Flames, gets that ricochet off of the pad of Askarov. And the goaltender for the Sharks looked like he got back there in time, but the puck trickled off of his pad and in, and Calgary takes the 2-1 lead with a power play goal.
San Jose kept on pushing all the way to the very end in this one, eventually pulling Askarov, getting an extra attacker out there on the net. You thought they were going to be able to find that equalizing goal to send it into overtime, but it would never be. Calgary eventually adding on the empty netter.
Granlund stick handles to his right. Granlund goes to the corner, feeds behind the net. Uyghur stopped it, tried to clear, kept in by Wenberg. Goes to the corner, Wenberg works it out in front of the net. The shot by Granlund, save! Rebound in front of the net. Where is it? 10 seconds to play. The Flames will clear. They got to get back. It's not going to be an icing. Pospisil going for it. Celebrini competing for it. They both fall down. Empty net. They score with 0.4 seconds remaining in the game. Right in front of the net, Jonathan Huberdeau will get the empty netter after that amazing one-on-one battle between Martin Pospisil of Calgary and Macklin Celebrini of the San Jose Sharks. The Sharks fight to the end again, and this time it will be a 3-1 Calgary win.
And for San Jose, it was another close but no cigar finish. And now they look forward to one more game in the calendar year. We get Macklin versus Matvei Michkov, which I think the rest of the NHL is all going to be tuning into. These two kids tied at the top of the Calder point total, and this is going to be fun, and I am looking forward to what we see, but the Sharks cannot get lost in any points battle between a couple of rookies. This is about the Sharks making a 60-minute effort, and I actually liked the Sharks' effort over the full 60 minutes yesterday, but at critical moments, at critical junctures, they are still giving up goals. They're not coming up with the big kill, or they're not coming up with the big goal. That's something they were doing in the month of November, which allowed them to take big strides forward, but now they need to figure out how to get to that next level, how to get to that next step in their season. They've got to get back on track. They've got to be able to get more wins. I think also that they would like to put an end to this winless streak right now, as they have one more in 2024, and they like to head into the new year on a winning note. All right, let's get into some post-game reaction. Here's head coach Ryan Warsofsky taking umbrage with the amount of shots they were giving up.
Yeah, I liked our third period the best. First two were not good enough. We can't give up, I don't know what it was, 34, 35 shots. It's too much.
Now, in the first period was when it was at its worst. They gave up 18 shots, and it looked like the game was going to get out of control in terms of the amount of shot volume they were giving up. They did get better throughout the remainder of the game, but you know, San Jose jumped out early in that match. They had a 5-1 advantage on shots, and then they just couldn't get any more shot generation going. For San Jose, and I know this is a broken record, I think shot volume has to be something they work on. There is still hesitation. They are still looking for too good of a look. That's something they've got to remove from their game. They've just got to be able to have the big play, take the shot, and put it on the defense or the goalie to come up with the big play to keep you off the board. And I know that not everybody loves that outlook, but the correlation between shot volume and goals scored should not be ignored, especially for a team like San Jose, who does not have consistently a big offensive presence. They have offensive weapons, but the offense still isn't there on a game-to-game basis. Sometimes it blows up and they score a lot of goals, but too often they are simply not creating the offense that they need to on a game-to-game basis. Warzo was also asked about the return of Klim Kostin and what he thought about his performance.
Thought it was good. Gave us some good boost coming to the lineup. Obviously hasn't played in a while, so you know, I thought conditioning needs to continue to improve. But big guy, can hold on to pucks. As you guys see now in the National Hockey League, it's a big man's game. So we need him. So it's good to see him back in the lineup.
As I mentioned earlier, I really like how Kostin grew into the game. He was not trying to make anything happen. He was not trying to be overly emphatic with his game, and he let the game come to him. And I think that when you've been out of the lineup for a while, there is a impatient aspect to a lot of players' game, but he didn't fall into that trap, and he was better and better as the game went on. And you know, they were not winning games without Klim Kostin, and I think getting Klim Kostin back into the lineup, using his size, using his skill, will be a big factor for the Sharks as they look to rectify this winless streak and get back on the winning side of things. Warsawski also was asked about resolutions for 2025 as they look to their final game of 2024.
We got to start winning some hockey games. You know, I think, again, there's some positives tonight that we can take from, but there's a lot of things we got to continue to improve on. We got to continue to get better each and every single day. We are in the facility, whether that's a video session, a practice, a morning skate. We have to continue to improve individually and collectively.
I think the sense of maximizing every single day has got to be a factor for any team that is where the Sharks are, as they try to figure out how they can get the most out of their team, as they figure out how to find their victories out of these losses that they're having where they're so close. That means that every other aspect of your game, if the losses are piling up, you've got to be that much better everywhere else to try and figure out how you're going to get the win. Warsawski was also asked about any message that he had for the team after the loss.
I don't talk to the team after a loss, so we have tomorrow off. We'll regroup Monday, have a good meeting, a good practice. Again, I think the big theme will be we have to defend better in front of our net, especially. We got to break out pucks cleaner. When we have breakout success, it usually translates into offense, playing the offensive zone. So those two things will be a big key for us come Monday.
Philadelphia, their next opponent, is currently sitting at 16-16-4 on the season with 36 points. San Jose sits at 11-22-6 with 28 points. And again, 1-8-1 in their last 10 for San Jose, whereas Philadelphia is 4-5-1. Not a juggernaut, but this should be viewed as a winnable game for San Jose as they have one final affair in the 2024 calendar season. And, you know, they've been playing against the heavy hitters. Calgary is an improving team, not what I would consider a heavy hitter as of yet, but still a good team. San Jose is not a quote-unquote good team as of yet. They're a promising team. They're a team of the future, but they don't know how to do it with consistency as of yet. But Philadelphia presents an opportunity for them to get a win, because as we keep on talking about, the schedule continues to be difficult because you go out to the first game of January on Thursday the 2nd. You're hosting Tampa. Then you're hosting New Jersey. Then Vegas. So that's a very difficult schedule that remains on this homestand before the Sharks get back out onto the road. But San Jose has to find opportunity. And again, they have been close. Close isn't good enough, but close is encouraging because it feels like they are on the cusp of turning that corner. We knew the schedule was going to be difficult. We knew there weren't going to be a lot of wins in the month of December, But at the same time, I don't think anyone expected them to be this close in almost every single game. They've had their opportunities. They've had their chances. They have not made good on them. Now is the opportunity for them to make good on it and get themselves the win. All right, I will be with Dan Rusinowski once again on New Year's Eve, 4:30 pregame, 5 o'clock go time, as the Sharks play host to Philadelphia, final game of the 2024 calendar year. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yend.